Genesis chapter 39. Look, if you would, at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master was not that what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us and to mock us. And he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." And it came to pass, when he heard that I had lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Let's pray. Father, again, I ask you this morning, Lord, just to bless this message. And Lord, you know the message that each one of these people need to hear this morning, Lord. And I know you have something for all of us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just speak to our hearts, Lord, this morning. I pray that you'll give comfort to those, Lord, that are seeking it this morning. There are people listening, people that are here that are facing tough times in their lives. And Lord, help us just to learn from you, Lord, exactly how to handle those tough times. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had one of those days where it seems that everything just goes wrong? When my truck decided to dump all the coolant, that would be one of those days, okay? But we've all had days like that where it just seems like, you know, if it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong that day. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a year where it seemed like the year was just not a very good year at all? If you remember 2020, that would definitely qualify, amen? I mean, here we are. We had to wear a mask everywhere we went, and we couldn't go anywhere, and, you know, they shut down places, and I'm just thankful that we live in a state where you still go out and walk. Amen. But you know, that would be considered a bad year. Okay. When I read the Bible, there are people mentioned in the Bible who had some bad days and some bad years. Certainly when you read the book of Job, you could say that Job had a bad day. I mean, I don't know that anybody in that Bible had a worse day than what Job had. Not only did he have a bad day, but he had a bad few days, quite a few days. Also, if you think about Joseph here, he had a bad year. In fact, he had bad years. If you think about this, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was taken against his will into a foreign land. He was made to work for someone as a slave. The man's wife he was working for wanted to lie with him, and then ended up lying about him to the master of the house, and ends up getting Joseph thrown into prison. Now, you have to admit, that's a pretty bad year, okay? And the kicker is, the whole time that this was all going on, Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, everything Joseph was doing, he did right. But there he was in prison nonetheless. Now, when things go wrong for you, and I really pray that things would never go as wrong for you as it did for Joseph in this story, okay? But when things do go wrong for you, there are some ways, some things that you need to remember so that you'll be able to handle it correctly. You know, a lot of us, me especially, sometimes when things go wrong, I kind of throw a little hissy fit amongst myself, okay? You know, and I'm one of those people that, you know, the first thing goes bad, okay. Second thing goes bad, you know, I'm starting to get a little frustrated. Then the third thing goes bad, and by the time I get to the fourth time, I'm thinking, what is going on? Amen? And I know I'm not the only one here, okay? But listen, there's a right way and wrong way to handle things, and there's things that we need to remember if when things start to go wrong, and they will start to go wrong. Now, look at verse 20, and I want to show you the first thing that we need to remember when things start to go wrong. And remember, things went wrong for Joseph here, probably worse than just about anybody else in that Bible, except for maybe Job. But I want you to notice this. In Genesis chapter 39, look at verse 20. It says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison." Now, the prison then is not like the prisons we have today. Okay, this was in Egypt. This was the Pharaoh's prison. This was a prison that was damp and dark, and it wasn't. They didn't have TVs. They didn't have all the commodities. When they threw him in there, I mean, it was punishment. There was none of this trying to rehabilitate anybody. It was punishment. Okay, and so they're in this dark dungeon where the king's prisoners were bound for punishment, and again, he's there for doing right. Had he been willing to commit adultery with his master's wife, he could have stayed out of prison. But because he decided to obey God, he is now behind bars. And don't you know the devil is just whispering in his ear the entire time saying, you see, whenever you obey God, this is how he treats them. This is how he treats his children. But first thing I want you to remember, when things start to go wrong and you start to get into a difficult position, is number one, don't focus on trying to understand why it's happening. Don't focus on trying to understand why it is happening. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to understand, because sometimes it's pretty obvious why it's going on. I'll give you an example. If the Lord is chastening you, you know it. You know it. I mean, there is no way that you can say, well, the Lord is... I've had people come at me and say, well, this is going on, this is going on, this is going on. Pastor, you think the Lord is chastening me? And I look at them like, you don't know the Lord is chastening you? Hey, listen, if you're not right with God this morning, you know you're not right with God. Amen? And if you've continued to be not in fellowship with the Lord, you don't need to ask me if the Lord is chastening you. Okay? Again, you've heard me say it before, but I never got a whooping any time in my life that I did not know I was getting it. Okay? And so if you're getting chastened by the Lord, you know that. And so what I'm saying is this, if you're here this morning and you're going through tough times and you're not right with God, just get right with God. Amen? Amen. Confess your sins. Tell him, own up to what you did. Repent of what you did and let's move on with life. You know, but you know what? We're stubborn. Sometimes we'll hang on to that sin and hang on to that sin until the Lord just turns up the heat so much you got to let go of it. Well, listen, if you're going through that, you know it. So this morning. But now listen, if you're going through things, just because you're going through something in life doesn't mean that you're getting chastened. You know, there's people on the other side of the coin too that believe every time something's going wrong, they're thinking, what did I do? What did I do to deserve this? Well, listen, sometimes bad things just happen to people. Sometimes the heater plug on the Ford just drops out of the thing. Amen? It just happens sometimes. Why? Well, listen, the Lord didn't expect any of the Lord did not want any of the bad things to ever happen on this earth. Sin is the cause of it all. Okay? And so bad things happen to people. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're just going through some trying times. And maybe it's just the way it works out. All right? But what I'm saying is this, is don't put all your focus on trying to understand why. Turn me over to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. And I want you to look here how the Lord understands, or how the Lord describes this person here in Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Look at verse 10. It says, Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now I want you to notice here that God describes this man. First of all, he's a man who fears the Lord. Okay, it says, who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant? And so he's talking about a man who fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant. And by the way, the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Okay. And so must be a very wise man. And then it says that God's servant, he said, obey God's servant. So the God's servant says, you know, here are God's orders, and then he does it, okay? And so it says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? And then it says, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Now, we wouldn't expect that somebody who would follow a servant and fear the Lord, that they would walk in darkness, okay? You wouldn't expect that, but sometimes that happens. Darkness can come to a child of God, and darkness could come into the life of a child of God where it seems like everything that the child of God does, it may be right, but just things just go wrong. Don't ever get the idea that if you serve God, everything is going to be peaches and cream. That's not the way it works out. Dark times fall on everybody, both the saved and the lost. Even the great saints of the Bible, they all faced dark times. People who walked after God, people who obeyed God, people who feared God. Yet, they went through some dark times. If you think about Habakkuk, when you read about Habakkuk in the Bible, he went through tough times and he didn't understand why. He didn't understand why. You read about John the Baptist, who loved God, who was cast into prison and later beheaded. There are some things that he couldn't understand while he was in prison. There was Job, a man who was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He had no idea why he was going through what he was going through. Amen? God allowed the devil to sift him, but Job didn't know why. In fact, you read the entire book of Job, and he's got three friends that sit there saying, well, Job, it's obviously God chastening you because you've done something wrong. And then Job says, no, I haven't done anything wrong. It's just God who decided to do this, almost like he's blaming God for it. He didn't have a clue what was going on at the very beginning. And so he didn't know. He didn't know what was going on. How about Joel? Joel, he loved God. He just had to throw up his hands and said, I don't understand why everything's happening to me. Listen, there are saints all through your Bible that went through tough times that never understood why they were going through them. And listen, you may be going through tough times today and you may not understand why you're going through them. You know you're not being chastened for the Lord. You know you've been doing things right, but things just aren't working out. Things are just kind of going wrong. May I tell you, listen, don't get caught up trying to always understand why. You know why? Well, because the Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. That's God saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You see, God sees the beginning of things. God sees the end of things. And God sees everything in between. We see only one thing at a time. We don't see the big picture. And because of that, we will not understand most of the time. There, listen, if you're like me, I can look ahead. I don't understand why God's allowing things to happen in my life. I can't understand it. But I could look back and I could understand why he did the things he did. Amen? Why? Because we can only look today and we can look in the past and understand things, but God sees the future. He sees everything that's going on. And so when things happen, we think it's the worst thing in the world. The reason why is because we have little faith. It's the strangest thing how we'll trust God with our very souls, but we don't trust him to get us through day-to-day life. We look at the gas prices and it's $3.99 and 9 tenths. Who does that? It's $4 a gallon. Amen. And we look at that and we get upset. We're like, what are we going to do? The food's going to start going up and the gas is going up and the airline's going to go up and pretty soon we won't be able to walk across the street without paying something. And we think that life's so bad. You say, why is it happening? Listen, don't focus on the why. Just trust God. Amen? Hey, I'm just going to tell you, I don't care if gas gets to $10 a gallon. Just trust the Lord. He understands. He's still going to provide your every need. He loves his children. And listen, it doesn't matter what this politician does or that politician does. It doesn't matter. Just trust God. But the problem is sometimes we try to focus on why is this happening to me so much that we forget that maybe God's thoughts are just a little bit higher than ours. And he can see things that we can't see. It says, now he says here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. And then he says this, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Hey, listen, God sometimes just has a different way of doing things than we do. And by the way, God's way is always right, and ours is very seldom right. Amen. And so have you ever thought about how many times that the early church, I mean, I was thinking about this when I was studying this message, when it says, when God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Can you imagine when Saul was persecuting Christians and he was putting Christians to death and he was putting Christians in jail and he was doing those things. I wonder sometimes how many Christians in their prayer said, Lord, can you just take him out? Lord, can you allow him just to get sick and maybe not survive it? I wonder how many people prayed that. But God's ways aren't our ways. Our thoughts aren't God's thoughts. God could see the future, and he knew that Paul would get saved and Paul would go on to start churches all over Europe. And by the way, that's the reason you're here today. I'd say God knows a little bit more than we do. Aren't you glad that God didn't take him out like I'm sure some of the people prayed back in those days? You see, we can only see right here in front of our face. We can't see anything. And when things start to go wrong, we can say, why is it happening to me? And we focus so much on you know, why it's happening and the reason why it's happening. But may I tell you, sometimes you're just not going to know. But understand this, God's got it in control. It's like the song that says, farther along we'll know all about it. Along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brothers, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Listen, you may not understand it today, but there's a day coming you'll understand everything. You'll understand why God allowed everything to happen to you at a certain time in your life. You'll understand it all. Therefore, we don't need to understand why today. We don't need to focus on that. Just simply trust him. And don't try making understanding your priority. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. So when you find yourself in a difficult position, and everything seems to be going wrong, the first thing to remember is this. Don't focus on trying to understand why it's happening. Because truth of the matter is you're probably not going to get a very good answer. All right, the second thing that you need to remember is this. When things are going wrong and nothing seems to be going right, the second thing you need to remember is this, is always remain faithful to the Lord. Always remain faithful to the Lord. In Genesis chapter 39, look if you would at verse 21. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, what does that tell you? If the Lord is making everything to prosper in that Joseph's doing, it tells me that Joseph in that prison is still serving the Lord. The Lord is still happy with Joseph in that prison. Now, he couldn't understand why he was sold in slavery. He couldn't understand why he was maligned and lied against. He couldn't understand why he was in prison. But the one thing he did know, and that was he was still to remain faithful to the Lord no matter what. No matter where he was, no matter what he was going through, he was going to be faithful to God. And if you'll remember, over in the next chapter, you'll find out that Pharaoh's butler and his baker ends up in prison with Joseph. And Joseph continued to serve God by ministering to those two men by the power of God. Those two men, each one of those two men had a dream. And Joseph interpreted those dreams. It wasn't by Joseph's skill that he did that. It's by the power of God that he did that. And so he interprets their dream and he serves God in that manner. And the truth of the matter is, while he's there, while he could not understand why he was there, he was still serving God. Now, there are a lot of fair weather Christians today. There are a lot of Christians today that they'll serve God as long as everything is going good. They'll stay faithful to the Lord as long as everything is going good. But then when they get a bad report from the doctor, they stop serving. When they hear devastating news, they quit on God. If somebody hurts their feelings, they quit attending church. Hey, listen, bad things are going to happen. And by the way, there are going to be people that are going to disappoint you. There are going to be people that's going to say something to you that's going to make you mad. But you understand this. God said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Listen, that person said something nasty to you and made you mad. Okay, but understand this. It was the devil behind it. Listen, just keep on serving the Lord. I tell you this, I would hate to answer to God because I quit on him because of something somebody said to me. Can you imagine that? Creator said, why did you quit serving me? And you said, well, because so-and-so said something to me, made me mad. What a thing. It's been said, you can tell the size of a Christian by what it takes to stop him. Joseph didn't let circumstances take him from the Lord. Nobody had been mistreated more than Joseph, but he was faithful. And he kept serving God and he kept being faithful to the Lord. And may I say to you this morning that if you're one of those Christians who likes to serve the Lord only when the sun is shining and only when everything is going your way, you're not much of a Christian. Because when you read that Bible, you go back there to the book of Acts, take a read of what those people were going through. Think about who the leader was during those times. It was Nero, who hated Christians, who killed more Christians than Saul ever dreamed of doing. Fed them to lions. These people were on the run half the time. You know what you read? You read about faithful Christians that just stayed the course, remained steadfast. That's what you read. Listen, folks, you know, here a couple weeks ago, I did that message on Magog going south, and we know how what's going on in the world today. Try to show you in Scripture what could be. You know, one of the questions that was asked of me when this whole thing started, I started getting texts from a lot of different people saying, is this the end of the world? Is this the end? One person says, do you think that there'll be war, World War III? My answer, I don't know. Could be. What are you going to do if that happens? Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. Just trust him. The Lord will take care of it. You say, well, what happens if I die? You're a Christian. Amen. Amen. We're all one heartbeat away from being in heaven. Ah, look, that was a bad thing. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not saved, I'd be worried. Okay. You say, worry is a sin. That's the least of your worries if you're not saved. But if you're saved here today, you got no problems. Yeah, things may get real worse. We may go through some tough times in this country. We might even see world war. But at the end of the day, God's got it under control. Amen? Hey, listen, if you trust him with your soul, you trust him with everything else. You can trust him with your children. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with everyday things. You can trust him to take care of everything, provide for you. He already said he's going to provide for every need. Amen? What are we worried about? But the problem is today there are so many softer Christians that every time something goes wrong, they want to blame God and quit on him. Listen, it's not God's fault that anything went wrong in this world. It's man's fault. Amen. You don't believe it? Go back there to Genesis chapter 3 and read it for yourself. God had us all in the garden. He had man and woman right there in the garden. All he had to do is tend the garden every day. Name the animals and just, I don't know, lay under a tree and just chillax. But the one thing that God said don't do is eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they did. And you know what? Bad things have been happening ever since. You realize they hadn't eaten from that tree, there would be no wars. There would be no fears. None of that. Listen, when things go bad, don't blame God, blame man. Oh, by the way, blame yourself. Because last time I checked, we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. Amen. You want to know why bad things are happening in this world? Take a look in the mirror. It's because of all of us. When bad things start to happen, don't you blame God. Don't you quit on Him. You remain faithful and trust in your Creator, the one that made that same promise. If I said this morning, hold up your hands if you believe. Oh, I'll say it. If you believe that in eternal security that you can never lose your salvation, raise your hand. Let me tell you why you believe that. Because that's what the Bible says. Amen? That same Bible says that He provides for the sparrows. He'll provide for you too. Why do we pick and choose the things that we want to believe? Every word in that Bible you're supposed to believe. So when it comes time when things start to go wrong, and they will, remember this, just be faithful to the Lord. Don't try to always understand what's going on, but be faithful to the Lord. Then the third thing to remember when things aren't going well, and that is don't become bitter. Don't become bitter. You know, there are many bitter people in the world today. They're bitter primarily because somebody did them wrong. Maybe some people here today that you have bitterness in your heart because of something that someone has done to you. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a church member. Maybe it was a coworker. Now, if anyone had an opportunity to be bitter, you have to admit it was Joseph. I mean, Joseph did everything right. Turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. When I read Genesis chapter 40, I'm thinking to myself, boy, if this were me, I'd probably be pretty bitter. Okay, but that's not what we're supposed to do. In Genesis chapter 40, Joseph here had just helped out Pharaoh's butler by interpreting his dream and letting the butler know that the butler would be released from jail in 3 days. And after Joseph tells the butler the great news that he's going to be released, Joseph says this in verse 14. He says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness. I pray thee unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the hand of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." Now I want you to notice carefully here that Joseph does not say one word about his brothers. He doesn't mention his brothers at all. He just said, "This is what I'm in jail. I'm innocent. Give a good word to Pharaoh for me." But he doesn't mention his brothers. He doesn't say one word against Potiphar here. He doesn't say one word against Potiphar's wife here. He doesn't even mention her. He deals with the facts, but there's not a spirit of bitterness there. Perhaps, you know, if we had been in the same position as Joseph, we would have said something like this. Maybe we would have said, "You know, that butler, you know, butler, I'm telling you, those no good brothers of mine, they sent me to, they sold me into slavery, and Potiphar's wife, you wouldn't believe what that woman did to me. I mean, you know, this is what she did. And can you believe she did such a thing like that?" And Potiphar, the husband, he should have known better. And that would have been us. But that wasn't Joseph. That wasn't Joseph at all. You know what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:20? He says, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with the Lord." I'll read it again. "For what glory is it if when ye buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." He's saying this. If you do something right, if you glorify God in what you do and things don't work out well for you and you take it patiently, God accepts that. God's happy about that. You know what He's not happy about? When things go bad in your life and you've done right and you start getting bitter about it and you start naming names about it and you start poking and saying this person's fault or that person's fault. He's not happy about that. Listen, number one, make sure what you do right, always. And then if you do right and you get persecuted for it, it glorifies God, as long as you're patient about it. Amen? Don't get bitter. Don't get bitter. And so we need to make sure that we don't get bitter when things don't go right. We are to be patient. We're to constantly wait upon the Lord. He's going to take care of it. And then the last thing that I want you to do, whenever things start to go wrong, not only are you not to be bitter, not only are you to just trust God and remain faithful, not only are you to not focus so much on the why, but the final thing, and boy, this is important, and that is when things start to go bad, don't try to rush God. God's got it all in control. God's never late. God knows exactly when things are going to end for you. He knows when the bad times are going to stop. He knows why you're going through those bad times. You just got to trust him, but don't rush him. Now, it probably seemed that to Joseph that he had been in prison forever. I mean, I could not imagine being in prison the way Joseph was in prison. I couldn't imagine spending one or two nights there, let alone as long as he was there. And remember, Joseph had told the butler to put in a good word for him to Pharaoh. But here in chapter 40, look at verse 20. It says, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, one thing I want to just kind of throw out here is kind of something a little extra. There's only two birthdays mentioned in the Bible, and both times somebody got their head taken off. That's a little bit interesting, isn't it? Has nothing to do with the service, but I figure I'd just throw that out there to you, okay? Good thing you didn't celebrate birthdays back in Bible times, okay? But notice here that the chief butler, the one that Joseph said, now listen, butler, when you're out of here in 3 days, you make sure that you tell, putting in a good word for me for Pharaoh, because I'm in here and I didn't do anything wrong. Just tell him that. But it says here the butler forgot him. Here Joseph was. He had done so much for the butler, but yet the butler just forgets about him. Now, turn if you would over to chapter 41. Chapter 41 and look at verse 46. It says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, this is when he's out of prison. He just got out of prison. He's standing before Pharaoh. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout the land of Egypt. Now, according to Genesis 37:2, Joseph was 17 years old when everything bad started happening to Joseph. He was 17 years old. That's when he was thrown into the pit by his brothers. And then after that, he was sold into slavery. And after that, he went into Potiphar's house. And then after that, he went to prison. And so somewhere there, between 10 and 13 years, he was in prison. 10 to 13 years. And it seems like everybody forgot about Joseph. His father thinks he's dead. His brothers have forgotten totally about him. Potiphar's forgotten about him. Potiphar's wife has forgotten about him. Pharaoh had forgotten about him. The baker's dead. And the butler forgot about him too. And there he is in that prison. But God didn't forget about him. God didn't forget. God was not late. God brought him out at exactly the precise moment so that he could be used to save his people during a famine. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. God is never early, but he's never late. He's always exactly on time. His timing is absolutely perfect. So no matter what you're going through, don't try to hurry God. Don't try to hurry God. Don't say, Lord, if you could make this to stop right now. Hey, listen, when bad things happen, I don't sit there. I pray and I say, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, could you stop this from happening? But at the end of the day, I know that God's got a plan. And if all of a sudden I'm going through something, God has a reason for that. And I know that God's timing is absolutely perfect. It will end when God wants it to end. An illustration that I have given you more than once, but it just fits so perfect. Years ago, I guess it was probably about eight or 9 years ago, I went to a youth camp. And when I got to that youth camp, my stomach started hurting really, really bad. I couldn't figure out what was going on. But I never felt any kind of pain like that before. And so I got back, I called back. I was like, hey, did anybody else have any stomach problems right there? I thought it was something we ate. No, we're all good. I thought, well, that's kind of strange. Well, it kept on getting worse and worse and worse. And then finally, it got to the point where I was in so much pain, I couldn't eat anymore. I mean, it was bad. So I went to the doctor. By the way, we call this doctor Dr. Death because he looked like death. But anyway, we went to him, and he did a blood test, and he found out I have ulcerative colitis. I get ulcers in my colon. And so I had this, and so they're trying to figure out how to do it. Well, it got so bad that I had to go to the hospital, and then they actually got me into an ambulance and drove me to Oklahoma City, 90 miles away, and they were gonna take the colon out. Okay. And so I'm thinking to myself the whole time, why is this happening to me? Man, I'm only 48. Why is this happening to me? I don't want this happening to me. I've done right. Lord, I've been serving you. I've been doing what you wanted me to do, Lord. I was complaining. I was not like Joseph. I'm just going to tell you right now. In fact, to this day, I keep on apologizing to the Lord. Lord, forgive me for complaining like that. I mean, I'm going to sound like a little sissy, okay? But it hurt. All right, but anyway, so they got me down there to Oklahoma City, and the whole time I couldn't. I remember they got me up and walking, you know, and I'm walking. All I want to do is just go outside and breathe fresh air. I don't know if any of you have ever been in the hospital for extended times, but I hate it. I hate it. All I want to do is go out there and go, air. That's all I wanted. They wouldn't even let me go outside. It's a horrible thing. So I was going through this thing. And now the good news is they ended up finding a medication that I'm on to this day that keeps those ulcers down. Okay, that's the good thing. But the whole time I was in that hospital, I was mad. I was mad at God. I was mad at the nurses. The nurses knew it. They wanted me out of there. And it was just really a bad, bad time. Couldn't understand why it was going on. And I prayed every day, Lord, stop this from happening. Lord, stop this from happening. But then my deacon came and visited me while I was down in the hospital. He walked in there and goes, I got great news. I was like, what's that? He goes, you know, Brother Rex? Rex was a guy that he came to our church, and he actually used to work as a lineman, and he got electrocuted when he was younger, got blown out of the bucket, landed on the ground, broke his back. Now, he healed up from his back problems, but where he had got electrocuted on that wire, he gritted his teeth so much that his teeth were constantly just falling out, chips. Because, I mean, that, being electrocuted is not good for the body, okay? But this guy had come in, and he had talked to me, and I asked him over and over. I said, Rex, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. But just the way he was saying things and the questions he was asking, I'm thinking, I just don't know. And I preached to him, and I witnessed to him, and I preached to him, and I witnessed to him. But then when I'm laying there in that hospital, that deacon comes in and goes, guess what? I said, what's that? He goes, I preached a message while you were gone, and Brother Rex came forward and got saved. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When I got told that, I understood why I was going through what I was going through. God needed me out of the way so somebody else could, he could hear it from somebody else, preach that message. And Brother Rex got saved. And I'm going to tell you, it was worth 100 of those trips to Oklahoma City for that to happen. God's always on time. He knows what he's doing. I look back now. I wasn't praising God when all that was going on, but I look back now and say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to do that. Thank you, Lord, for taking me out of the way so Brother Rex could get saved. Amen? Amen. God's always on time. He knows what he's doing. Don't you rush God. I'm thankful God didn't say, okay, you want out of the hospital? Well, I want you back out of the hospital. If that were the case, I think Brother Rex would be in hell today. But God knew what he was doing. He knew what needed to happen. He knew I needed to be gotten out of the way. And I look back and I'm thankful that God allowed me to do that. And I'm thankful he didn't answer my prayer. You ever wonder why Paul can sing there in that prison? You ever wonder why people could rejoice when they're going through tough times in that Bible? Because those people are doing what we should be doing. They're trusting God. And they understand that his timing is absolutely perfect. You are going to be going through some bad times. And again, let's face it, the older we get, the tougher those times are going to get. Amen. Our bodies are breaking down. That's just the way life is. Okay. But I want you to remember this. When the bad things start happening, don't try to focus so much on the why. If you're being chastened, just get right with God and the chastening will stop. And if it's not, just trust God. Remain faithful. Don't get bitter about it, like your pastor. Don't get bitter about it, and don't try to rush him. God knows what he's doing. Let me ask you something. I don't want to know if you're going through something this morning, but I have a feeling that if you aren't, you will be. Will you do what Joseph did? Don't be the average Christian and get bitter and quit on God and try to blame God for everything and wonder, why is it always me, Lord? Don't be one of those. Just trust the Lord. Let's stand.